This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
WNYC Studios is supported by W.W. Norton & Company, publishers of The Road to Freedom, Economics and the Good Society, by Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph E. Stiglitz. The Road to Freedom, essential reading for those committed to the American ideal of an economic and political system that delivers well-being, opportunity, and meaningful freedoms for all. The Road to Freedom, available now wherever books are sold.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
The novelist Elizabeth Strout has set most of her books in Maine. She grew up just over the border in New Hampshire in a small town where her mother taught English in the local high school, which made it kind of awkward when Strout decided that she'd had enough of that.
And I remember my mother came upstairs that morning and she said, "What have you decided about dropping out of high school?" And I said, "Well, I'm not going to finish." She said, "Okay."
In retrospect, quitting high school seemed to have worked out pretty well. Strout ended up enrolling in college at Bates College in Maine, and she went on to publish many works of fiction. Her book, Olive Kittredge, was a bestseller and won the Pulitzer Prize for fiction. Elizabeth Strout told us that during her time at Bates, so this would have been around the 1970s, her favorite place to go was Mount David. Not exactly a mountain, more like a, I don't know, a steep hill or something, but she loved the view from the top, looking over the small city of Lewiston.
I don't think I've been up on top of Mount David for, well, since my senior year in college. But I would come up here at least once a month, if not more, just to sit and look over the city. We're headed up Mountain Avenue, and Mount David is halfway up Mountain Avenue. It still seems a little cleaner than I remember. You know, all these pine trees, but what do I know? I just remember clambering over broken sticks and stuff to get up here. But this looks very much like it did. Quite a steep climb. So there's many grasses and the trees are much scrubbier up here at the top. Just a few scrubby trees and then rock. Just plain rock. So here we are, finally at the top. And what's interesting to me at this point, oh, look at that nest. Is that a nest? Whatever. Is that the trees have grown up higher so you cannot see the town, the city. You know, I had always spent a lot of time in the woods alone as a kid and always enjoyed that. But this was different because this gave me a view of a city, and a city meant people. And I'm sure I was either born that way and, you know, and it was also part of the isolation that I felt as a kid. But I just loved to see that array of buildings that meant there were people down there. Yeah. It was like my first city. Shirley Falls is definitely my fictional Lewiston. And I was not living here at the time that the Somalis arrived, but I was always, you know, had my eye on what was happening up here. And when I heard about the man who had thrown the pig's head through the mosque, oh my word, I was just... It was just such a moment for me, and I realized this has got to be told. And I followed that whole thing for a year. And the man who actually was the real perpetrator was 30 years old, and he was a racist, and he killed himself. And as I was thinking about the book, I thought, I have to make my perpetrator younger, much more confused. He doesn't understand what he did, because it seemed to me that it was much more interesting novelistically, and that many of us, we don't understand what we're doing. And so I made, you know, poor Zachary, just a 19-year-old kind of kid who was very displaced in his head at that time. And but that was the genesis of that book. My work has been enormously informed from, first of all, from things that I learned at Bates, starting with Winesburg, Ohio, starting with Martin Andrucki's amazing classes on playwrights. We read so many playwrights, and I learned a lot about dialogue just by reading those plays, Clifford Odets, Tennessee Williams, just reading and reading and reading plays. But then also the experiences that I had in town also informed my work. Because when I was working as a waitress, I was working with people who were from Lewiston. They weren't from Bates. And I remember I waitressed at the first disco. Oh, man. It was crazy. And it was hard. And nobody tipped. One night, my friend Maureen, who was a local woman, she was just such a nice woman. And she came over to me and she said, "I just got puked on." And then later that night, I also got puked on, and so we both quit. It seems like ancient history now to be here and to be remembering this, and yet it's very vivid, and it was a very important part of who I became. I don't think I've ever talked about Mount David to anybody. Not for any particular reason, but just because it just sits inside myself like one of those very private, quiet things.
The novelist Elizabeth Strout. Her book, Olive Again, is a sequel to the bestseller Olive Kittredge, and it comes out later this month.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.